Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, read on to verse number 14, and we'll pick up where we left off last Wednesday night on being led of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse number 1, if you're there, you found it already. So, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Tonight I'm very thankful for being in Christ, and I'm very thankful tonight for the Spirit of God dwelling in the believer. And this is our victory, the full part of the fulfillment of salvation. Lord, we come to this evening and ask you tonight for your help upon this place. And Lord, we are a needy people. And I pray, God, that you would meet our needs tonight through the Spirit of God and through your word. May our hearts be opened. Father, may our minds and our wills be surrendered to you, Father. And that, Lord, may we allow the word of God to teach us and not, Lord, just count on tradition or what we think that we know. But Lord, always be teachable and allow you to mold us, conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. Help me tonight now, Father, we ask in your name. Amen. I like Romans 8. I believe it's one of the victory chapters for the believer. Romans chapter 7 ends with the thought, O wretched man that I am, and with the sentence of condemnation. Romans chapter 8 begins with, there is therefore now, not in the future, but right now, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And this tonight is really the key point for the victory of the believer, is understanding our position in Christ Jesus. And if you were to go through the Bible and circle the phrase in Christ or by the Spirit or through the Spirit, you would circle a number of times those phrases. And this is our element or our position of victory in Jesus Christ. And so being in Christ is man's deliverance. Being in Christ is the believer's victory. Now listen, the flesh does not make men spiritual. And I want you to see that tonight. We'll look at that a little bit. The flesh does not make a man spiritual. And we live in a day and age where a lot of folks want to twist the scriptures to expand our liberties. Let me rephrase that. Twisting the scriptures to expand our liberties doesn't make one spiritual. And we live in a culture today, in an emerging church that wants to take the scriptures and twist them to give the flesh more liberty and think that, well, we're more spiritual. That doesn't make one spiritual. Adding more laws to the scripture does not make a man spiritual. And I'm not tonight to here to condemn or criticize the Baptist, because we are one. And I think that sometimes we're not careful. We do more harm by criticizing the Baptist with our young people, and they grow up thinking somehow that there's something wrong with being a Baptist. So we need to be careful with that. But there are times when we as believers sometimes add more laws to Scripture than Jesus Christ added. And that doesn't make you more spiritual either. And I'm not against not having standards or even your preferences, but when we make those preferences required to be spiritual, think that somehow if I got more preferences, I'm more spiritual than anybody else, that doesn't make you more spiritual. Being in Christ makes a man spiritual. Being in Christ makes a man spiritual. So Romans chapter 8 is a proclamation of salvation being fulfilled in the believer. And so we find tonight that we looked in the last several weeks that in Christ places the believer under a new law. We find in verse number two, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And so being in Christ puts me under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. Under this new law, there is no more condemnation for sin. I don't stand condemned for sin. It's been paid for, and I have been redeemed. Under this new law, there is no more control by sin. Sin has no more dominion over me. And under this new law, there is no more continuance in sin. I'm free from sin. I have victory over sin. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to continue in my sin any longer. Now, in Christ also places the believer under a new Lord. We see that tonight as well. The Holy Spirit is the new Lord of our life, not the flesh. And so we talked about last Wednesday night that the Holy Spirit, let me get my mind screwed up here straight, and the Holy Spirit controls the mind of the believer. We dealt with that the last few Sundays as well. And that's a great battle for dominance, a great battle in our hearts, a battle for the mind. What you think and what goes on in your heart is how you're going to live and how you're going to act and what will control you. So the Spirit of God now is to influence our mind. I want to talk tonight about two more things about this. The Holy Spirit is to control or influence our motives and also to control or influence the members of the believer as well. Let's look at those two points tonight. The Holy Spirit of God, now we're under a new Lord. That old Lord was the flesh. Now our new Lord is the Holy Spirit. And He is to control our minds, our motives, and our members. Look at, first of all, the motives of the believer. Look at verse number 8 with me. God says this in the Scripture, "So then they that are in the," what class?
Flesh
"cannot please God." We must remember that tonight, that the unsaved man, though God sent His Son to die for him, and he loves the whole world, and Christ came to redeem sinners, the fleshly man, the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot and will never please God. God is angry with the wicked every day. His wrath abides on the unsaved man, and so the flesh cannot please God. Now, Christian tonight, if that's the case, then why do you think that living in the flesh after being saved is going to please God? Now, I'm not saying tonight that when we get born again, we get perfect. There is no man perfect. Every one of us from the pulpit down to the pew have still deal with this old sinful nature. We still face temptation. We are still prone to sin. We are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But don't think that you can live in the flesh and please God. Don't ever get the mindset or the idea that somehow, as long as I pray a prayer and every night I ask God to forgive me of all my sins and just kind of be a generic, a moderate Christian, a moderate believer, I can live my life how I want to and indulge in the flesh and God's okay with that. The flesh does not please God. And so, God says in verse number 9 then, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So tonight I want to ask you a question. Who is it that guides and influences a believer to want to live as Christ lived? What makes the believer different now? It makes us want to live as Christ lived and yield ourselves and let Christ be the potter as we are the clay. What makes us want to do what Jesus Christ would do and did do? What makes us want to be conformed to the image of His Son and live like Him and act like Him and talk like Him? And the answer is tonight, the Holy Spirit of God within us causes the believer and drives the believer to want to be like Christ. Now, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. to do that, to teach us and to guide us into all truth. Hold your place in Romans and come to the right with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's a few, this a little bit to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 17. Watch now, we find here the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now thank God for liberty, but as the Bible tells us, it's not a liberty to the flesh, but it's to be liberty to be to use to love one another, and to be a blessing to each other. Verse 18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as, by the Spirit of the Lord. Who conforms us? Who changes our fleshly nature, our carnal nature, our worldly nature, into the glory of the nature of God, of Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God does. He lives within us. He dwells within us. He takes up residence in our life, and he uses the Word of God, and he leads us and guides us, and his ministry is to conform us, to make us more like Christ. We're conformed, we're changed from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. So the Holy Spirit of God must be our guide. He must control and motivate my will. The Holy Spirit is the new Lord over my motives, according to the book of Romans here. Now, verse number 5, it talks about two different things. It talks about in the flesh and in the spirit. It says, for they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are in after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So these phrases that we see here in verse number 5, they deal with what or who is controlling or influencing the individual. Those that live in the flesh and walk in the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. Those that are walking in the Spirit or in the Spirit then controls them and motivates them. Let me give you an example or illustration. When you hear someone says, that person or they are in love, it's usually pretty obvious that phrase in love motivates them and controls them. And it changes their will and their actions. All of a sudden, and we had 4 sons, and for the longest time, none of our boys could care less if their teeth were brushed, if their hair is combed, if they had showered in 3 days. They just didn't care. And then all of a sudden, one day, they began to recognize that there is the opposite gender, that God did create girls, and girls were kind of neat. And all of a sudden, no matter how their hair looked. And I've heard more about hair and hair products in the last 6 months than I have in all my life. And now all of a sudden we've got to brush our teeth and take showers, and we got to try out new colognes. And how does this smell, Dad? I don't really care. As long as it doesn't smell like you, it smells fine. And men buy flowers, and they buy gifts, and they trip over themselves to be a gentleman. Why? Because they are in love. It's a spirit of love that drives them and motivates them. Now, by the way, don't look at me all weird, some of you men. Years ago, you did that too. And if you did that again, your wife would be like surprised. Like, wait a minute, he still got it. And so maybe some of you do that already, but you do it incognito. You don't let anybody know that you're in love. It's a secret thing. And so you don't want to be that guy that everybody knows is smitten by his wife still. And so the Holy Spirit is to be the same. We're to be in the Spirit. He's a drive us. To influence us. Now, by the way, you know, love is kind of a force. The Spirit of God is more than a force. He's a person. He's a person. And so we're not talking tonight about some spooky force or some ghost that just has, you know, some essence of being. This is a person. He's a divine person. He's part of the Trinity, and he lives within us, and he guides and directs us, and so he is to control us. And so I want to remind you that those in the flesh cannot please God, and God says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we are to live by faith, yielded to the Holy Spirit of God in our life. So our victory, verse number 9 talks about our victory comes from the Spirit of God dwelling in us. The word dwell, verse number 9, that word dwell means to occupy. And so we had some folks in our church this past few weeks relocate and move. Sam and Kenzie moved, and the Boyettes moved. So now they occupy a new house. That's their place that they dwell in. The Spirit of God occupies our tabernacle as well. This body, this vessel, it occupies, it dwells within us. And so he occupies the believer. And so if any man, according to verse number 9, if any man does not have the Spirit of God occupying them, you say, well, they're backslidden. Or they're carnal. According to the Scripture, if a man does not have the Spirit of God dwell within him, he is not saved. That's not legalism. That's just doctrine. That's Scripture. The Bible says that when you get born again, the Spirit of God occupies or dwells in your tabernacle, in within you. So, preacher, I don't have the Spirit of God within me. Then you're not saved. The Spirit of God dwells within each one of us. And he's there to do a ministry. He's there to perform a good work in our life. And so you can rely upon him and yield to him and have faith in him. He is the God. He's God in our life. He's the new Lord of our life. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so a man that doesn't have the Spirit of God is not saved. All saved men are indwelt with the Spirit of God. So now here's a question. I'm going to just throw this out here and we'll move on. You have the Spirit of God within you. How much does he have of you? That's the problem tonight. It's not, well, do I have the Spirit of God? No, God said, the Scripture says, if you've been born again, if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit of God living within you. The question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, as saved people, how much do I give the Holy Spirit of God? How much of me do I give the Holy Spirit of God? Now, what should be our response to the Holy Spirit? What should be our response? Well, first of all, we have to quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, I believe, is one of the parts of the Trinity that we often ignore. He's either ignored or abused. We have, you know, Christians who sometimes we get in a rut. Christianity becomes, if you will, just a routine for us. And like anything else, it's just something we just do. And when sometimes we're unmindful of that, the Spirit of God gets neglected. Then you have the other extreme, the Spirit of God gets abused. And folks, you know, want to blame the Spirit of God for their tongue talking and their, you know, all kinds of crazy antics. And, well, it's the Spirit that made me do that. It might have been a Spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He's not the author of confusion. But we are to be led by the Spirit of God. And so what should our response be? Number one is this, don't quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. The word quench means to quiet, to repress, or to extinguish. So tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is not spooky, by the way. He's not going to lead you against or contrary to the Word of God. God's will for your life will never violate His written will for your life. So the Spirit of God, He leads us according to what He's been told, what He hears from Jesus Christ and from the Word of God. And so tonight, when He begins to lead you, don't quench Him. Don't repress him. Don't extinguish him. Later on, I'll listen to him. And listen, if you quench him long enough, he will dull your hearing and dull your conscience. Now, he won't leave you nor forsake you, but your heart can become calloused. You no longer hear his voice because of the flesh. And so don't quench the Spirit of God. Next is don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. Grieve means to displease or to offend. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You and I can grieve the Spirit of God when we get rebellious, get hard-hearted, refuse to listen, refuse to yield ourselves to Him. So don't quench the Spirit of God. When He leads you, follow Him. When He leads you. Now again, I want to remind you, He's not going to lead you. Don't come here and tell me, preacher, God led me to, and you name something that's going to violate the Word of God. Well, God led me to steal a car. Now, that's a crazy example. You know, I had a lady one time, and God bless her, good lady. But she continued to say, well, the Spirit of God is leading me to change churches. And she named the church she was going to go to. It was to the left. It didn't have the same standards. Didn't use the same Bible. Didn't believe the same way the Scripture taught. I'm like, listen, ma'am, I love you, but the Spirit of God is not going to lead you contrary to the will of God. The Word of God. And she's like, preacher, I'm sorry, but that's what I'm going to do. And I believe that she quenched the Spirit of God. Don't quench Him. Don't grieve Him. What should we do? Look at Romans. If you're in Romans, look back at Romans chapter 6. What should we do with the Spirit of God? Romans 6, verse number. And by the way, don't use anybody else's life and the mistakes as an excuse for yours. Just because another believer hinders the Spirit of God in their life, don't use it as an excuse to justify your quenching the Spirit of God in your life as well. I don't care if the guy's a deacon, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or you name the position. Don't let other people's sins be an excuse for your bad choices. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but now watch this next phrase, but yield yourselves unto God. What should we do with the Holy Spirit? What should our response be to the Holy Spirit? Not to quench Him, not to grieve Him, not to offend Him, but to yield to Him. Just surrender. Just yield. Let Him have the right of way in your life. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him produce fruit in your life. And so as a parent, we expect our children to yield their will to our desires. When they grow up, they don't have a will of their own for the most part. When you tell them to do something, you desire them that, well, some of them have their will, but usually you're a little bigger and have the authority and your desire is, I want you as a child, a young person, to yield your will to our desires. I want you to dress right. I want you to behave. Help with chores in the house. Keep your room clean. Be respectful. You expect them to yield their desires or will to you. Well, God's the same kind of Father that expects us to yield our will to His desires. And by the way, you'll be much happier and have much more peace if you do. We live in a day and age that people want to think that while being godly, being a good Christian, spiritual is a boring thing. There's no fun in that. And so I'm going to chase my flesh. But I'm going to tell you something. You can chase your flesh and for a short time. You can enjoy the pleasures of sins for a season. But I'm going to tell you this. It's not about what makes the preacher happy or even sometimes your parents happy. But the Bible says this, that when you chase the flesh, you cannot please God, and the results always will end in a mess. You're not going to outsmart, out-trick, out-deceive God. And so, God, we're to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. So He's to control, or influence, if you will, our motives, our will. Number two tonight, for just a brief moment, let's look at the Holy Spirit of God controlling the members of the believer. Look at verse number 10 of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse number 10 says, and if Christ be in you, watch the phrases now, the wording, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's that Spirit of God again, quickening us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, if my mind and my motives are surrendered to the will of God, the Holy Spirit, will it impact or influence my members? That's a good question to ask. If my mind and my will is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, will impact my members, will impact my actions and my behavior. Now, the worldly mind emphasizes the heart of man with very little concern about man's actions or his behaviors. There are worldly-minded Christians, and they're always focused on, well, it's the heart that God looks upon. Yes, He does, but He also is concerned about your ways, your conversation, your walk. But He's concerned about you being a testimony. He's concerned about what others see in you. And I'm going to tell you something. Folks can't see your heart, good or bad. So the worldly-minded Christian thinks only God sees my heart. So it matters, and my actions are of no concern. Well, they have the opposite end then. It seems like it's hard to get a balance as a Christian. We have one side that says, listen, preachers, I'm saved. I love the Lord. I'm going to live my life as I please. It doesn't matter what I do because God just loves everybody. He accepts everything. And as long as we're saved by His blood, it doesn't even matter what we do. And that is a carnal way to think and to live. Then you have the other end, the other spectrum, where the mind's pharisaical. What we always focus on is the outward and the actions of man, with very little thought about the heart of man, the condition of man. And either way is dangerous, and either way does not please God. The worldly man that wants to, you know, boast about his heart, and by the way, God said this, if you love me, if your heart's right, keep my commandments. Yeah. This idea, well, preacher, as long as you're saved, there are no commandments. I don't know what Bible you're reading, sis. Right. Just because Christ died for us doesn't mean he did it with commandments. There are some things that God still says, thou shalt not do. But that's a dangerous way to live. But the other way is also very dangerous to live, where if all you're focused upon is the outward man, not the heart of man, you become legalistic, you become pharisaical, and neither extreme is pleasing to God. There's got to be a balance. What is that? Well, the Spirit of God will help us with that. If we yield our will and our minds to the Spirit of God, it's going to come out in our life and our actions as well. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God influences and guides the man's mind, his motives, and his members. The Bible says about my members, about my body, about my actions, about the outward part of me. By the way, the Spirit of God is always, the Word of God, and being a Christian, yes, there's doctrinal and there's positional, but there's also practical. Okay, so positionally, I'm in Christ. I can't lose my salvation. Christ makes me spiritual. Christ makes me righteousness. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. And so those are my position in Christ Jesus. I didn't do that. He did that for me. I just put my faith in Him by grace. There's also practical living as well. What does the Word of God and all that my position do for my living and what folks can see? Well, God said this, if Christ be in you, because of sin, the body is dead. That part of me now is to be dead. The believer's victory now. And by the way, the Spirit is life, and the title of God is victorious because of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:13 says this, and you being dead in your sins and trespasses, and the circumcision of your flesh hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When we were dead now, the Spirit of God has quickened us. In fact, hold your place in Romans and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read a little lengthy passage here. But I want you to see what the Spirit of God did for us, both on the inside and the outside. And by the way, this might be old-fashioned and old-timey, but it's still applicable to today. God's Word doesn't change because culture's changed. The problem today with Christians in the church house today is we try to keep step with the world. But the Bible does not change with culture. Just because the world says things are okay today and things have changed doesn't mean that God has changed His view or His position on them either. And so, but preacher, if we live that way, we'll stick out. Why is it that we brag about the Old Testament saints and how they served God and stuck out, but we don't know part of that kind of Christianity? We don't want to stick out. You see, for most people today, if there had been Nebuchadnezzar who said, bow to the music, most Christians, they would bow. Well, I don't want to stay. Things have changed, Pastor. Things have changed. You know what? That's everybody's bowing. The music's playing. We know what? And what about Daniel the lions then? We brag about that. And David and Goliath. And all these men of God, women of God that we brag about. But we want no part of that. You're supposed to stick out. You're supposed to be different. You were created. You were born. You were placed in this position for such a time as this. And no virus and no election should change that. You know, I'm amazed at Christians, and I'm not trying tonight to be unkind or ugly or unwise, but we try to sometimes outthink God. You know, but preacher, it's just not safe to come to church because of the virus. It wasn't safe to be alive during Nebuchadnezzar's day either. See, the virus had a 90%, the virus has a, listen, you have a 99% plus chance of surviving the virus. In the fiery furnace, you had a 100% chance of dying. Don't tell me that God can control fire and lions, but He can't control a virus. But preacher, that's not being reasonable. Was it reasonable for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not to bend or bow? Was that reasonable? Was it reasonable for this and Daniel? Just quit praying for a month, Daniel. All this is a month. The king said, just a month, don't pray, and it'll be over with. Was that reasonable? The apostle said, the scribes and Pharisees said, hey, don't preach his name. Don't mention his name. Hey, you can talk about things, but don't preach his name. Was that reasonable? Again, I'm not saying tonight to be unkind, I'm not being unkind at all. I'm just saying tonight, we want to boast ourselves of having all this faith with overwhelming odds of surviving, then act like, well, we're like the three Hebrew children. We're like Daniel. We're like Paul. No. No, they faced certain death. In fact, Paul was stoned and killed. God said, listen, I don't want you here yet. Raise him back up from the dead. Again tonight, I'm not trying to throw stones, but I wonder tonight if the apostles that were alive, the Old Testament saints were alive, they laugh at some of us for staying home. You're afraid of a virus? When we face certain death, you're afraid of a 0.3% chance of dying? Or whatever it is, it might be smaller than that. Again tonight, I get tonight being careful. Well, I don't get this idea for a believer to live in fear. Now, I don't know why that's kind of a rabbit trail tonight, but I kind of have fun following that rabbit. But we sometimes have deceived ourselves to thinking that we're spiritual and we have all kinds of faith and we're submitted and we're loyal and we're, you know, when really if we examine ourselves, that may not be the results. But now listen, without trying to be gloom and doom, thank God that we're in Christ. Amen. By grace. And he's equipped us to be victorious. We have to rely upon him. Now, I want you to see tonight that, let me see, I'm going to skip it here a little bit here. Oh, I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Is that where we're at? Let's look at it. I want you to read this with, you follow along as I read. Look at verse number 9. Watch what the Bible says here about the believer. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now this is the Bible now. This is not the Baptist. This is the Bible. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. Jesus Christ would not endorse or condone the LGBT crowd. He's not changed his mind upon that. The effeminate are still an abomination to him. Adultery is still sin. Fornication is still sin. I don't care what culture says, what some preacher says, the Bible says it's still a sin. God says in verse number 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. God's against drinking. There is no booze that's good booze. If you think so, give me five things how it's helped your life. Name five. Name me three. Name me one good thing it's done to help your life. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. I've been down that road myself. I can't name you one thing it did for my life. To better my life. And God's still against it. Alright? Look what it says here. Here, watch it now. No revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You can't be walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and being doing these things. Now, watch verse number 11. Here's a great verse. And such were some of you. I like that. You can't sin too much for the grace of God. You can't get so bad, the Spirit of God says, I can't help that. I can't help that guy. They're too far gone. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, we raised four boys, and sometimes they'd go outside, and they'd play in the mud and the dirt, and they'd come in filthy. We put them in the bathtub, they didn't come out filthy, they came out washed. They come out cleaned. They look like they've never even been outside before. And when Christ saves you and washes you, he wants to remove all that stuff from your life. He doesn't leave you dirty. Amen. And you don't need to go to some 62 program help step to get clean. There used to be a day the Spirit of God was sufficient to clean man up and go over his addictions. Now we want to wait in it and say, well, you know, I've been saved. No, when he saves you, he cleans you, he washes you, he sanctifies you, he sets you apart, he justifies you. You belong to him. Let's look at this, verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So here he's saying, certain traditions won't make me any more saved or unsaved. There's nothing I can do to break the law of the Spirit of God. But I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of those things with the Spirit of God. You see, tonight, the problem with these sins in a believer's life is now they control you still. And plus, they're not expedient. Look at verse number 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body, and God hath raised up the Lord, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and who also raised up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which joined to you, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All of you belong, as a saved person, all of you belongs to God. Both the spirit and the body. God has ownership of the heart, but also of the body, the flesh. This idea, well, preacher, no, it all belongs to God. And so God is concerned about my inward, the inward man, the heart of man. God wants me to be sincere and not without pretense and not without hypocrisy. He doesn't want me just to go through the motions. He wants my heart to be right before the Spirit of God and to love him and love one another as myself. But he also wants my actions to be right. The Spirit of God impacts the entire man, not just the inside, but also the flesh as well. Now, how do we do that? And I'll close with this last verse. Look back at Romans chapter 8. Now, watch this, because if we're all honest with ourselves tonight, temptation is a big thing before salvation, and it can be after salvation as well. Because that old flesh still has a problem, okay? We still drag about this old flesh. But by the way, that flesh, that body is dead. It's dead. There's no life in it. It's never going to be a blessing to you. It's dead. We have life through the Spirit of God. But now how do we as a believer surrender ourselves so that our members, our body, our actions, our conversation also is under the Spirit of God? Look at verse number 13. Pick it up about halfway through. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That word mortify, it means to kill. Let's see if I can find my notes here. It means to subdue, to reduce, or to restrain. And God said this, that he said, if ye, I have responsibility as a Christian. I need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, sometimes, for some of us, that's a bigger job than we can handle. How's your tongue? The words that you say. How's your attitude? This thing of mortifying the flesh and the deeds of the flesh can be a big task. But he didn't say do it on your own, did he? He said in verse number 13, for if he through the Spirit, that's a big S. That's not my spirit, that's his spirit. See, the Spirit of God is when he equipped the believer for victory in every aspect of their life. Preacher, what do I do then? I just yield. You see, we have this idea as the red-blooded Americans, I'm going to fight to be spiritual. No, you won't. because you'll never make it. I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to go on the altar again on Sunday morning, confess my sins and say, Lord, if you can forgive me this one more time, I promise I'll never do it again. I'm going to try harder this time. And what do we find ourselves doing? The very same thing we confessed a week ago. It's not about fighting harder. It's about yielding, letting, dying to self. You see, tonight we are fighters by nature. You old Germans that are here tonight, bunch of fighters. You Irish, fighters, right? Some of you look at me like, don't look at me. You're fighters. Brother Matt asked you to get in the middle and wave. You all fought. Some of you fought that. I ain't looking at the camera. What's he? He's a soldier. He's not my boss. You got a little prickly. I watched your eyes. You got a little prickly there. He wants to be a blessing to his wife and you're prickling. What's he got in his mind? Who voted him in tonight? Some of you don't even want to look at me right now. You're like, barking up my tree. Who do you think you are, preacher? I am nobody, really. Last time I said, listen, you know what would make you happy? You just got honest with yourself. Just get honest with yourself. You're not going to fool God. You're not fooling half of us because we can see right through your face. And we're together enough to know that we're not fooling anybody. Okay? So it's not about fighting. It's not about trying harder. No, I'm not against pushing toward the mark. But really what we need to do as Christians, we need to learn how to surrender and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and let Him have dominion over our life. Did not Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body, bring it in subjection, that's that by any means that when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, it's about dying to self, subduing the flesh. We do that through the Spirit of God. It's not about Christians trying harder, but it's about yielding to the Spirit of God. You know, most professing Christians can't even agree with what the Bible calls works of the flesh. You know, Galatians chapter 5, I have it down in my notes, so I won't turn it for the sake of time tonight. But you read Galatians 5, 16 through 26, it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We are living in such an anemic world today when it comes to spirituality that most churches can't even agree what the works of the flesh are. We want to condone all kinds of nasty sins that God says are a sin. And then we have the other side, the moderate Christian who agrees with what the Bible calls the works of the flesh, but they just don't want to label anything as sin or dangerous or off limits that might lead to the works of the flesh. You know, so we have folks that will say, yeah, preacher, I believe that fornication is wrong. I believe that adultery is wrong. But if you label certain sins as, wait a minute, or certain actions as, that's dangerous, that's on a path to fornication, then they label as legalist. They label as, you know, being cultish. You're being judgmental to say that my music and my dating life and my private life is dangerous and might lead me to fornication. You're being pharisaical. You know, we don't want to label anything today. So we can just do what we want to do and still pretend to be spiritual. And so tonight, the church is sometimes more concerned about today being relevant and approved by the world than they are about being faithful and holy. Young person, I want to encourage you. It's not about tonight about being relevant and letting man or the world or your friends approve of you. God still says that we need to be faithful and holy. We need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, that means there are some deeds of the flesh but that may not necessarily be sinful, but they lead to sin. I need to mortify that direction, that fleshly deed. And so if we would get that tonight, understand that, we got to come to the place tonight where you're no longer the God of your life, of your will, of your motives, of your body. The Spirit of God is the Lord of your life. Our prayer should be this. Holy Spirit, I yield my mind to you today. Please help me be spiritually minded. Holy Spirit, I will yield my will to you today. Please guide me, motivate me to be like Christ. Holy Spirit, I yield my members to you today. Please help me to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to live after you. And it's not about being better than anybody else or being like anybody else or, you know, comparing ourselves. It's about the Spirit of God. Lord, would you lead me and guide me and make me in my heart and in my mind and in my will and my body, make me be like Christ Jesus. Today, do you have that desire to be like Christ? Sometimes we get our eyes off the Lord. We get our eyes on a college, a man, a church somewhere, and we all of a sudden we strive to be like somebody, to be like that person, God says, listen, if we don't want to be weary and faint in our minds, what do we look to? The author and finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus. So look to Him. Let the Spirit of God conform you to His image and be like Him. I want to encourage you tonight, church. Let us yield to Him and have a motivation and desire to be like Him in all that we do and say. Father, tonight we come to you. Thank you, Father, for the book of Romans, a book of great victory in Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. Lord, may we be yielded to Him tonight in all that we say and do and think. God, help us, I pray tonight, to live surrendered to you, Father. Thank you tonight for your help. We ask tonight in your name. Amen.